presence, feeling the presence. And because the choir started with that song, I'm going to start with something David Alexander posted on his Facebook page, and I thought it was very lovely. David Alexander is a senior minister in the Lake Oswego Center for Spiritual Living, and he was Mary Morrissey's youth director way back in the day. And this is called Putting the Christ Back in Christmas. He said, "Let's put the loving and inclusive Christ who made room at his table for all back in Christmas. Let's put the forgiving Christ who asked us to be generous with our forgiveness practice back in Christmas. Let's put the born of a Middle Eastern refugee's family Christ back in Christmas. Let's put born of the surrogate mother who had two fathers Christ back in Christmas. Let's put the it was never his last name Christ back in Christmas. Let's put this story has always represented a state of awakened consciousness in humanity, Christ, back in Christmas. Let's put the common Christ back in Christmas. Let's put the Christ consciousness that belonged to the Buddha, Allah, Krishna, and Muhammad back in Christmas. Let's put the Christ, which is you, back in Christmas." So feeling the presence is that Christ, is that presence. And it is the presence of love. It is the presence, as Reverend David said, of forgiveness, of welcoming, of inclusivity. And just for a moment, take your hand, put it over your heart, feel your own heartbeat. Feel that love. And then say with me, "I feel the love of the presence. I feel the love of the presence. I feel the presence."
I feel the presence.
Now look at your neighbor and say, "I see the presence in you."
I see the presence in you.
Make sure on both sides. "I see the presence in you." Seeing the presence is, first of all, you need to look through God's eyes in order to see that Christ consciousness, the presence. You need to look with an expanded consciousness, a consciousness of oneness and unity. You cannot look with the eyes of fear and see love. You need to be looking with love to see love. So it's always our job, every day of the year, to remember that God is good. Absolutely, to remember that, to practice it, to be that consciousness of presence, no matter what is going on in the outer world. And to remember that the outer world is created, we create and we perceive it through our consciousness. So as long as we're perceiving good, we're perceiving with God's eyes. If we are perceiving something to be fixed, something amiss, something that is lacking, we are seeing with very human eyes. And this is the time for us to rise up, show the world who we are, show the world that there is a consciousness of love and it starts inside us. Every one of us, every single one of us can make a difference in our world by being this consciousness of presence wherever we are. Whether we're going to the bank, whether we're going to the market, no matter what we're doing, where we are, we can bring this presence. We're always a choice. We can bring this presence or we can have amnesia of our spiritual nature, which sometimes we have, and then we bring a different consciousness. But remember that consciousness is always creating, so it serves us well to bring a consciousness of the Christ, of love, of peace, of harmony and inclusivity. When we bring that consciousness, that what we then in turn experience and perceive is the same thing. Harmony, love, truth, peace. peace on earth, goodwill to all men. Humanity. So, one of the people that, whenever I've heard him speak, he always comes from that place of oneness, of consciousness of the whole. And he, we're going to watch a video that he is introducing our whole theme for 2016. This is the spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living, Dr. Ken Gordon. Whenever you're ready, Mary.
This video was recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Kelowna, British Columbia. Our sincere thanks to Caesarius Productions for the assistance.
Please join me in welcoming onto the stage our very own Dr. Ken Gordon. Thank you. May I have a seat?
Good morning. We're going to start this with a world that works for everyone. That's the theme for the month. And each one of these weeks that we're doing is done by a different minister, which is even more exciting. There's just an incredible amount of creativity coming in from the field and feeding this idea in such a powerful way that I think we're going to transform the world here in the next 52 weeks. The first week, January 3rd, the bullet point structures were written by me. So this talk that is going to take place on January 3rd is going to be given by many people who pick up the various bullet points and then create and bring into being their own talk that comes from it. And when I talk about a world that works for everyone, what I'm talking about is the vision of our organization. And just briefly, what it is that we know that this vision that is being put forward of a world that works for everyone cannot be encapsulated within anyone's consciousness or idea that they have right now. But what we do know about the state of mind and the state of intelligence, the state of consciousness that each and every one of us has, is that when we lay something before us and put it out in front of us, and when we provide ourselves with the faith to know that it must become a reality, that everything that is necessary to bring it into fruition automatically happens and comes into being. So January 3rd, what we're going to do all over the world is talk about a world that works for everyone. Our second week, which will be January 10th, is going to be delivered from one of our ministers in Dayton, Ohio, by the name of Reverend C.C. Coltrane. She created the bullet points for it. The topic for that is the world has learned all it should through suffering. And Dr. Holmes, our founder, wrote, "The world is beginning to realize that it's learned all it should through suffering and pain. Surely there can be no intelligence in the universe that wishes man to be sick, suffer pain, be unhappy, and end in oblivion." This is one of our founding beliefs. We know that suffering is not something that we need to do. Now, as a collective consciousness and as a society, we've certainly manifested and brought into being a belief system which allows us to believe that. Suffering is a state of mind for humanity. We actually believe that A, we deserve it, and B, that it cleanses us and makes us better. And I will share with you that that belief system has resulted in us being defensive around suffering on a regular basis, where what we attempt to do is push it away or to avoid it in any way, shape, or form, because it is one of our commonalities. And the problem with that is that we become unlike that which we were meant to be. That we actually will achieve this nirvana, which is the natural state of our being, that we will achieve that nirvana if we could only suffer a little bit more. Does this sound vaguely familiar to the way and the theme that we have in life itself? Which is, life is hard and then you die and then you get all the good stuff after you go to heaven. And there's rules why you can't go to heaven, because you have to live a certain life in a certain way in order to be able to do it and believe a certain thing. And so on January 10th, what we will do throughout 250,000 people around the world is we will present that idea in a multitude of ways. We have over 420 churches, and I'm so excited to find out what each and every one of those ministers have to say about that particular idea. The third one, 17th, is done by Dr. Christian Sorensen from Seaside, California. And Dr. Christian laid out the bullet points for it, and his topic was, we see all people, all beings, and all life as expressions of God. Dr. Holmes wrote, suppose each one of us goes out into the unknown country and works an acre of land. There are 250 acres, and each one will take an acre of the same land. There are not 250 different kinds of creative processes in the soil. There is only one kind of creative process, common to the 250 acres. But we are people, so each one plants his plot the way that he or she likes to plant it. Then everything is different when it comes up, and people who see it say, here are 250 individual acres of land. Well, I'll tell you, there is no such thing. There are 250 individualized plots of one creativity operating through this same soil. It's up to us to choose what we plant in our lives. If you plant love, you get love. If you plant happiness, you get happiness. If you plant gratitude, you get gratitude. If you plant pain, you get pain. If you plant violence, you get violence. If you plant fear, you get fear. This is the way the universe works on January 24th, presented by Dr. Jim Lockhart, who, as many of you know, is retired now, but used to be at Simi Valley and is very, very involved. And his topic is, this one, speaking of God itself, manifests itself in and through all of creation, but is not absorbed by its creation. And Dr. Holmes wrote here, he said, people must realize that no matter how infinite the infinite may be, it can only become to them what it can become through them. We must look at ourselves with our own eyes. If we could open up, clean house mentally, and get out of ourselves everything that ails us, I don't care what the poverty is or the misery is, everything would be allowed because the infinite cannot refuse anything. The infinite is infinite. It contains everything and all things. It contains that which might appear to be painful. It contains that which appears to be helpful. But we know that this universal intelligence, we know this thing that we call God, Allah, whatever name you choose to put on it, life is nothing more and nothing less than the perfection. And it is up to us to choose what it is that we want, and it becomes manifest. So that is on January 24th. The final one that we do for the month of January is done by Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn, who is from San Diego, California, and she was the previous spiritual leader for United Centers for Spiritual Living before we integrated and came together. And her quote, or her theme, is, we see a world in which people live in alignment with their highest spiritual path. This is the highest and greatest calling that each and every one of us has to do, is to become authentic within our own being and authentic within our lives, true authenticity. Dr. Holmes wrote around this, whatever is true of the universe as a whole must also be true of the individual as some part of the whole. Each individual is evolved from the universe as a self-conscious, thinking, center of living spirit, and as such, must, in nature and being, reproduce the universe in their own lives. This is a fantastic concept. This is how I choose to live my life, as a reflection of the higher power, as a reflection of the infinite, not a reflection of my smaller mind, which has all of the neuroses that bring into my life and my experience that which hinders, that which creates suffering, that which blocks, that which denies. Instead, to be able to live my life as that light and that love and that joy and that beauty. But the key is that that is that evolution that we step into in life itself. It's the awareness that when we learn and hear something that resonates with us, that we become greater and we have a greater idea. That we begin to create greater form and different form and experience in our life when we embrace those truths which resonate with us. Those things that are authentic within our own being. And when we understand and appreciate that there is only one thing happening, and that thing is God. There is only one life. That life is perfect. That life is God's life. That life is my life now. This is the presentation of what it's about.
Going to be a great year, and why did I show it this week instead of next week? I'm not going to be here next week. I'm leaving for Canada on the 25th. I'll be back on the 1st. I'll be here for taking you through that very first, the month of January, which to me is one of the most exciting concepts that we've had. And at last count, and this is an optional program for all of the centers to do or not to do, and at last count, 125 of the 420 centers are opted in. So we'll see what that count, what it goes to. It's a very, very exciting idea, starting with the whole premise that it starts with the principles that we believe, and we say at all of our functions, that we believe in one presence, and that presence is manifest everywhere and in everything. It's manifested in each one of us. And as we let our light shine, as we let our peace and well-being be who and what we are, we're modeling that for all of the people around us. And we don't have to say, hey, look at me. Not at all. In fact, it's the beingness of you makes the difference. The beingness of peace, the beingness of love, the beingness of generosity is that transformative power. And what would stop us from remembering who we are? Well, the big one is an F word. Fear. It's fear. Don't let fear tie you. Don't let fear stop you from being what you've been called here to be, the greatness of spirit, the greatness of love. I have a sense, and of course I have no children, physical babies, biological babies, so I don't know if this is true or not. But I believe that children who are raised with a great deal of love, and love doesn't mean just willy-nilly do whatever you please, but real love, that I believe that those children grow up to be adults that contribute, adults that know who they are, they're confident, and I have a story about that I want to share with you. It's about a tribe in East Africa. And when a young woman decides to have a child, notice it didn't say family, when a young woman decides to have a child, she goes deep into the wilderness and she meditates until a song comes to her. And she learns the song that comes to her, and then she goes and the baby's father, she teaches it to him, and he learns a song and sings a song as they are making love. And then she teaches it to the midwives, and the midwives sing this beautiful song as the child is being born. It's the child's unique song. No one else has this song. It's sung at important things like baptisms, weddings, any important ceremonies. And even if the child does something that is unbecoming to him, the village elders gather everybody together and gather this person at whatever age, and they sing the song. They sing the song to this person to help him or her remember who she really is, who he really is. not to shame him. They're not, he doesn't, is not ostracized. He is not told how bad he is. He is reminded of the goodness within him. And then when he passes and makes his transition to another life, it's also the last time the song is sung at that service of memory, that memorial service. Isn't that a beautiful tradition? So, and, you know, it's not too late. We can each of us create a song. Maybe it won't be as good as Rick's would be, but each of it will be individualized as us. Well, I know he's a songwriter and he has all of this ability just to bring into experience the truth. But each one of us could do it if we just got quiet. If we just took some time for us, got quiet. What is my unique song? And here are some clues about presence in you. When you feel joy, you're on the right track. When you feel joy, when time just flies by because you're just having the time of your life, that's it. That's your purpose. That's what you're meant to do, that thing. I was watching Jack Canfield on one of the Oprah shows. And Jack Canfield, of course, the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Do you know, and you've heard this before, 144 rejections before any publisher said they'd take a chance on that first Chicken Soup book. 144 rejections. But something in him and Mark Victor Hansen said, this is our gift. They believed in it. Do you believe in you enough to take one or two rejections? How about 144 of them? And then to know, he said, he stopped in 2008, he said he just knew it was complete. To know that, too, to know when it's complete. And here's a practice that he does every night, and I invite us to do this. He says, not every night, but he occasionally just looks himself in the mirror and sees himself. And then he acknowledges himself. Jack, you did a pretty good job today. He acknowledges his temptations, the things he didn't do. He acknowledges the things that he really intended to do and did. And then he says, looks himself in the eye and says, I love you. I really, really love you. That's presence. That's presence speaking through him. That's present speaking. When you can look in your own eyes and say, I love you, then you know who you are. I can see it. The person sitting beside you can see it because they told you so. It's the truth of you, and so it is. So I'm going to pray. And Diane, just one verse, okay? Just short. So
come into the silence, rest for a while, release all the cares of your day. Spirit is within you. Spirit is love, you know.
Remembering that that one that is love is right where you are, right where I am. I speak this word for each one of us. I'm speaking it in the first person. Take that which appeals to you, that which resonates with you, and leave the rest. And this is what I know. I know that the healing power of God is the presence within me. I know that that presence is a blessing wherever I am, that there's a givingness of love, of wholeness, seeing the truth and speaking the truth and standing firm in the truth. What I know is this beautiful moment of now is a holy moment. It's a moment of well-being. It's a moment of peace. It's a moment of infinite possibilities. I know that this one in me, this one everywhere, is light, is peace, is plenty, is power. The freedom that God is in me sets me free from any concerns or worries, sets me free from the past, from any lack of self-love or self-expression. I know in this very moment, I am enough. There is enough. It is the truth, and so it is. Thank you.